much. Appreciate that good, humble prayer. Ask that we continue to pray as I stand before you. My mind was bouncing on numerous different subjects, and I felt impressed to this subject this morning. So we hope and trust it's of the Lord and have sought the Lord, and I appreciate your continued prayers in a special way. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the 91st Psalm, Psalm chapter 91. The psalmist David, who I believe is the one that penned this scripture, begins, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Says he that dwelleth. To dwell is not just to go visit a place. It's to live at a place. You ever heard the old saying, "Well, it was a nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there"? This isn't talking about just visiting or just tipping your hat, being on the way. But the psalmist David, the king of Israel, a strong picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, the God of all glory." As Brother James said in his prayer, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, said, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Said, he that dwelleth in the secret place. That word secret place is that Hebrew phrase is sometimes translated in the King James Bible as hiding place. And David, King David, knew what hiding places were about. He had been hated by King Saul, the king of the land, and had spent many times in hiding places from King Saul. Have you ever looked for a hiding place? Seems like it's almost built into us to kind of like hiding places. I remember as a little boy, me and my brother Mike had bunk beds, and we'd drape a big cover off the top bunk bed to the bottom, and we'd get in that bottom bunk, and it'd kind of be like a little hiding place. How many of us as children would have a tent even in the house? Not that we really needed it for shelter, but it was just a hiding place. And a hiding place is a place where we can feel safe and we can feel secure. Brother James mentioned in his prayer that this world is a cruel place. And we can't go throughout this world without a hiding place. And the psalmist tells us the best hiding place that's ever been or ever will be. He said, he that dwelleth in the secret place, in the hiding place of the Most High. You see, that hiding place is the best place because the Most High is there. The King of glory is there. Now, we have a whole lot of man-made hiding places in our world, and they can be useful. We have a hiding place from tornadoes that's called a storm shelter, and those can be very useful when a tornado is coming. And it depends on what we're trying to take shelter from, what we're hiding, if you will, from, as to the best hiding place to pick. For example, if there's a little light rain coming outside today and we just kind of want to be protected from that light rain, an umbrella could be a good hiding place. But I'm going to tell you, if there's a storm going and the winds are blowing at 40 miles an hour, that hiding place, that umbrella, is not going to do you too much good. Whatever the hiding place is has to be stronger than what you're hiding from. Has to be stronger than what you want to be protected from. And sometimes man-made shelters just aren't strong enough. I'll never forget that right after Hurricane Katrina hit, I'd gone down to one of our officers' homes in Hattiesburg. You may remember that when Hurricane Katrina came through, because we were on the, I believe it was the eastern side of it, if I have my directions correctly, that a lot of tornadoes were spawned. And I went to one of our officers' homes after Katrina. We were taking some supplies to try to help them. And I was amazed when I went to his house. And I talked to him. He was is a very godly man. His wife, a very godly lady. And he told me that when the winds were blowing and a tornado was actually coming right over their house, that his wife was on her knees in the living room praying for the protection of Almighty God, seeking the refuge of the Lord. And when I looked at his house, and I'm going to try to give a good visual image, here's the house right here. The trees on the side of the yard fell this way, away from the house. The trees in the front fell this way, away from the house. The trees on the other side fell this way, away from the house. And the trees in the back fell that way, away from the house. I'm going to tell you, they had no storm shelter in their home. And if I was to build a home tomorrow, I'll just be honest, I would have one. We don't have one now, but I would have one. But she found her shelter. She found her refuge. She found her hiding place. In a far better hiding place than any storm shelter this world could ever build. That was the protection of her Lord. He's the ultimate refuge. He's the ultimate hiding place that could ever be imagined. He's perfect. You know, as a probation officer, they taught us in firearms training and safety training to look for hiding places when things got bad. And if we were under attack by a gunman, we were trained to find hiding places. And there was two hiding places that they taught us. One was a hiding place that was just that. All it did was hide you. Like maybe a bush. And so if somebody's after me and wants to do me harm, if I get behind a bush and they can't see me, they got a tough time using me as a target because they can't see me. But the problem with that kind of hiding place that was called concealment is they couldn't see you, but it wouldn't protect you. Wouldn't stop a bullet. So they trained us that the better hiding place was called cover, where you could get behind it, and not only would the enemy not see you, but the enemy couldn't shoot you because that hiding place would be blocked. But even those hiding places is good. Even if you were behind good cover, it just got you from the front. It just protected you from the front and not from behind. We look in Psalms chapter 32, we'll see another verse. Verse 7, another Psalm of David that says, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble." Notice the personal language of David. He just didn't say, "Lord, you are a hiding place." He said, "Lord, you're my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve anybody from trouble. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble." The Lord loves us so much. He has provided himself as the greatest and most glorious and most protected hiding place ever been. And he said, "Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." Yeah, if I get behind cover and somebody's coming against me, it doesn't protect me from the back. But what did the Lord just say? David said, "Lord, thou shalt compass me." That means encircle me. That means you're protecting me not just from the front, but also from the back and also from each side. "Thou hast compassed me about with songs of deliverance." Songs of victory. Now, we usually at Providence, and we did today, we sang some songs of victory about the victory and the deliverance and the salvation we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, you can't sing a song of deliverance if you hadn't been delivered. You can't sing a song of victory in your heart if you've not been given a victory. I remember when the children of Israel were in a horrible situation. The Lord had blessed them with freedom from bondage in Egypt. And they had gone and at the direction of the Lord, they had camped by the Red Sea, and they camped in a place where from a human standpoint, they were trapped. And Pharaoh said, "They're entangled in the land. They've got no place to go." So Pharaoh left Egypt with all of his army to go and get the children of Israel. And here the children of Israel have their back against the Red Sea, and in front of them the most mighty army on the globe advancing upon them. And from a human standpoint, they had no place to go. They had no place to hide. But you see, the Lord would be their hiding place. And the Lord would tell Moses, says, "Don't fear." You know, man's made a lot of shelters for a lot of different things. Shelters from rain, shelters from cold, shelters from heat, shelters from storm. But man had never been able to make a shelter against fear. But the Lord, our refuge, our hiding place, is a hiding place from fear. And he can calm our fears in a moment. He tells Moses, "Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." The children of Israel may have been wondering, "What's that going to do? My back's trapped against the Red Sea. The most powerful army on the face of the globe is advancing upon me. What's standing still going to do?" You see, there's a lot of things that can come against us in this life, a lot of storms that can come against us, a lot of enemies that can come against us that are bigger than we are, and we can't fight them. But I'll tell you, we serve a Lord that's bigger than all of our trials, that's bigger than all of our temptations, that's bigger than any storm that may come against us. And the Lord, where it looked like there was no way, He opened up the waters of the Red Sea. And in a way that they looked like they had no place to go, God made a way. And he opened the waters of the Red Sea with a wall of water on one side and a wall of water on the other side. And they went through on dry land. And then the Pharaoh and his mighty army, the mighty chariots of the most powerful king upon the face of the earth at the time, goes in after him. And after all of God's people were safely on the other side, Moses again held that rod over, and all the waters came back and destroyed all the enemies of Israel. And then you know what they did? They sang a song of victory because the Lord had given them the victory. That's why when David says, "Thou art my hiding place, thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." Notice it said songs of deliverance. See, the Lord's given us an ultimate eternal victory when he died for us on the cross. And that's the most important victory. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord's given us a lot of victories in our life as he's been with us. And as we fled for refuge in him, he's given us many victories. And what a blessing, wonderful blessing that he is. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." We look in Psalms 119 and verse 114. Come to the longest psalm in all the Bible. And he says, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word." You see the theme? Thou art my hiding place. Thou art my shield. I hope in thy word. You know that when we feel fear, that God's word can help calm our fears? He said, "I hope in thy word." And you may say, "Brother Mark, how do we run to the Lord as the hiding place?" One of the ways we run to him as the hiding place is in his true, pure, holy word. Bible says that through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. He calls the Lord my shield. Again, not just a shield, but my shield. And this word for shield, there was basically two kind of shields back in Bible days. One of them was a big old shield that's like a door. It's a big shield. This shield that's being referred to here was a much smaller shield called a buckler. And you may say, "Brother Mark, why would the psalmist call the Lord the little shield instead of the big shield?" You know, when I first came on as a U.S. probation officer, the very first bulletproof vest they gave me was so big and so clunky and so uncomfortable. Literally, when I went to get out of the car, you couldn't just get out. You just kind of had to roll out of the car. And you know something? Nobody ever wore it. It was so uncomfortable, nobody ever wore it. So maybe if we were going on an extremely dangerous mission that day, we might have put it on. But we didn't wear it every day. And part of the lesson of this small buckler, this those big old door-type shields were the ones the Roman soldiers would take when they knew they were going right on the battlefield against an enemy, and it was going to be a tough mission that day. But the other day, they didn't have that shield. It's too heavy. It's too bulky. But what did they have every day? The smaller shield. The buckler. And I think the lesson is the Lord is not only a refuge for us. When we're up against the biggest storm we've ever had in our life. But he's also the refuge for us every single day. On days where we're plagued by worry and anxiety, he's a shield for every day. And we can run and flee to him at every juncture of our life. When we've gone through the most heartbreaking things anybody could experience in life, he's a refuge for that. But he's also the refuge for every other day. He's our shield. He's our buckler. And we can hope in his word. We go back to where we were in Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Notice that as we're abiding in this hiding place with the Lord, we're under the shadow of the Almighty. Now I'm going to tell you, it paints a picture there of a mother eagle that is protecting her babies. And I'm going to tell you, I've learned something as I've lived, and there's many under the sound of my voice that have lived a lot longer than I have, 56 years. But one thing I've learned is the sweetest, gentlest sisters will turn into bears if you mess with their little ones. And here the Lord paints a picture of God as the mother eagle that will protect her babies with her life. You know, the Lord not only risked his life for us, he freely gave his life for us on Calvary's tree. And we can feel safe and secure under the shadow of the Almighty. The Bible also tells us not only does the Lord have his wings above us, not only are we under his shadow of his wings, but it also tells us the God of Jacob is our refuge, and underneath or the everlasting arms. So he's got us from the top to cover us from the enemy. But he's also got us from the bottom, underneath, or the everlasting arms to lift us up when we need to be lifted up. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 7. This is also a song that Moses spoke. If you look at the end of verse chapter 31, in the ears of all the congregation of Israel, the words of this song until they were ended. And it's in a sense a song of victory. He said, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father. He'll show thee. Thy elders, they will tell thee. See, part of the way we can take comfort and consolation in God as our refuge and God as our hiding place is to remember how he's been a hiding place in the past. To remember the victories he's given us in the past. And he tells them, remember the days of old. Consider, think about, meditate upon the years of many generations. Ask thy father. He'll show thee the elders, and they'll tell thee. See, we can look in the Bible and see how much God Almighty delivered Israel and was a refuge for Israel. We talked about him bringing them out of bondage in Egypt. We talked to him about crossing the Red Sea. But he gave them many other victories. He gave them great victory in the Battle of Jericho when the walls came tumbling down. He gave them great victories every day when he fed them with manna from heaven. Angel's food. Food from heaven. He took care of them when he gave them water out of the rock. And he blessed them with victory after victory after victory. David over Goliath, Gideon over the Midianites, just time and time again, he gave victories. But you know, we need to also think about the victories the Lord's given us. And be ready to tell others about it. You know, the Lord can be our refuge in our life right now. And as he gives us victories, and as he's given us deliverances in our life, we should share those with our children and make sure they know not only how did God deliver Moses and the children of Israel in the Old Testament, but make sure they know how God delivered me and God delivered you. I remember a story. It's been several years ago when a horrible tornado came through the Fairfield subdivision that's a couple of miles from our house. And a baby was literally ripped in that storm from his mother's arms. The mother was just beside herself. And they said not long after the tornado went through that a man dressed all in white that nobody ever saw before was carrying that little baby. And the baby was safe. I think anybody would see that took the miraculous hand of Almighty God, that God himself was a refuge for that little child. Was a safety and a refuge and a hiding place in that storm. We all have our stories. I could tell you some about mine. Wrecks where I probably should have died and I didn't. Wrecks that should have been wrecks that killed me that didn't even turn out to be a wreck at all. And I'm sure we all have our stories and we should tell those to our children. And children, you should ask your mom and dad, tell me ways the Lord's delivered you and given you victories in your life. You may help mom and daddy stop and think. And think about the years of many generations. Then it goes on to say, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam and he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. He said, for the Lord's portion, word means inheritance, is his people. We are his. Jacob is the lot, listen, of his inheritance. We are his. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. We were already his by virtue of creation, and he bought us again on the cross of Christ. We are doubly his. Said he found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. That's where we were. But he led him about, and he instructed him. Aren't you glad the Lord leads us? Aren't you glad he instructs us in his word? How would we know what to do about so many things in life were it not for the truth and the purity and the holiness and the perfectness of his word? And he said he kept him as the apple of his eye. He's talking about his people and said, they're mine, you are mine. And he kept them as the apple of his eye. That partly means that his eyes are always upon us. I can watch the young mamas in the church, and their eyes are always on their little children. And I may be having conversations with them, and their eyes are looking over here. Why? Because their eyes are on their children, which, well, they should be. Do you know the Lord's eyes are always on us? And we're the apple of his eye. In a way, that literally kind of means the pupil, something that we very much protect. If anything comes toward our face, we're going to protect our eyes. But I also like to think of it that there's times when we may be real close to someone we love, and we're looking them in the face. And sometime if the light's just right, you can see in their eyes your image. And you can see the look of love that they're having to you. And you can actually see in the apple of their eye your reflection. And I'll tell you, little child of God, as we look into the eyes through faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can see that we are the apple of his eye. And he's always ready to be a refuge for us every single day. A refuge that's good in any situation. A refuge that will never fail. A refuge that's stronger than any storm or anything else or any enemy that could ever, ever come against us. Said he found him in a desert land, the waste howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, and he kept him. He wouldn't let him go, but he keeps us as the apple of his eye. That means he's not only looking at us, but he's looking at us close. He kept us as the apple of his eye. And as an eagle stirreth up her nest, there's this image again, and fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, listen, beareth them on her wings. Now, we've already talked about how mother eagles take care of their baby eagles and how the baby eagles are under the shadow of her wing. And I'm going to tell you, I've seen videos of predators that came to attack little baby eagles, and it ain't a pretty sight when mama eagle starts tearing them up, because they're safe under her wings. But then this verse goes even further, because when a mother eagle is teaching the baby eagles to fly, they'll get out there, and as they begin to glide, the mother will fly under them, because, see, they can't fly on their own. And if mama eagle left them alone, they would fall and fall to the ground. You know what she does? Here's a little baby eagle trying to fly. It's going down, and mama eagle comes right up there under them. What's that verse we read? Underneath all the everlasting arms. Now, I'm going to tell you, when this world's been too much for us and we can't fly, We have a Lord like that mother eagle that comes up under us and can lift us up and fly to high, high places. You know when you're on a plane and they finally tell you you can turn on your electronic devices and stuff, it's generally after you've gone up to about 10,000 feet. That's 10,000 feet high. You know that's how high an eagle flies. Have you ever just thought, I just need to be away from the world. I just want to be above the things of the world. We have a place where we can be. And it's our refuge. He's our hiding place. He's our strength. His wings of protection are over us, and his wings of flight are under us. And he takes care of us every single day. Go back to where we were in Psalms 91. Verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. That word can mean plague. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. And his truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. You know, I'm reminded of the place in the New Testament. One of them's around John 6, but it's covered in the other gospel accounts, where the disciples had been, the Lord Jesus had just fed the 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And the people were so excited that they were going to take the Lord by force and make him a king. Now, he was already king, but they were going to try to make him an earthly king. Lord Jesus had already said, my kingdom is not of this world, nor would my servants fight, he told Pilate. So the Lord Jesus goes up on a mountain to pray. You may say, Brother Mark, how do we find our place of refuge? How do we, you say, flee for refuge to the Lord? How do we do that? One of the ways is in prayer. I'm going to tell you, we can be worried and afraid. The Bible, Jesus would say in the Sermon on the Mount, when you pray, enter into your closet. That kind of sounds like a hiding place to me. And I'll tell you, there's been times where I've been fearful and afraid and anxious about many, many things. And I can go to the hiding place of prayer with the Lord, and I can instantly feel his refuge. I can instantly feel his strength. I can instantly feel his protection. I can instantly feel his safety. The Lord Jesus is up on the mountain in prayer. He's told his disciples to go to the other side. They get into a tremendous storm. Peter and James and John and Andrew were experienced fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. They had seen many storms, but this storm was different. This storm was worse. This storm was scarier. And perhaps we can go through life and think, Yeah, I've been through some storms. But this storm's more. This storm's bigger. This storm's scarier. And these tough, rugged fishermen and others, I'm singling them out because I think of them as being some of the toughest. They were scared to death. And the Lord Jesus looks down from that mountain in the darkness of the night. And he sees them toiling and rowing. I'm sure they wanted to get to their refuge, the Lord Jesus, but they can't. Why? They're in the middle of the sea, in the darkness of the night, and the Lord Jesus is up on the mountain. How can they get to their refuge? They look around on the Sea of Galilee, and there's no shelter there. There's no place in sight that they may could get to find safety. But you know, they didn't have to. Because their refuge, their hiding place, wasn't a geographical location. But it's the man, Christ Jesus. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 1 says, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man, the God-man, fully God, but fully man. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, and as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." You know what those disciples were blessed to see? In a place that it looked like they had no hiding place, the Lord Jesus, their ultimate and true hiding place, came walking to them on the water. He saw them toiling and rowing. He saw them through the darkness of the night, and he knew all of their anxieties. He knew all of their fears. He knows yours too, child of God. He knows all of your anxieties. He knows all of your fears, and this world can't get dark enough that he doesn't see through the darkness to know what you're going through. He knows, and he cares. He loved these disciples so much, he began to do a great miracle and walk on the water to be with them. You may say, "Brother Mark, he might have done that for Peter and James and John, but would he do it for me?" If you love the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, it's sure evidence that he loved you before time ever began. It's sure evidence that before he ever said, "Let there be light," that he was already loving you. And it's sure evidence that he loved you so much that he came and he suffered and bled and laid down his life for you. The same love that the Lord Jesus had for Peter and James and John and the other disciples on that boat is the same love that he has for you. And the same love that caused him to walk on the water, to still the storm in their life and be with them in their life in that moment, at that time, is the same one that will walk on water if it takes it to get to you in the storms of your life. He's our hiding place. He's our covert from the storm. And I pray we run to him every single day. For he's there. And in him, we find our safety. We find our protection. We find our peace. He's our hiding place. And we can rest under the shadow of his wings. God bless you. Is my prayer.